team will see plenty of it off the stadium this year, all being well, is the Fremantle Football Club. And Joe Briety joins us now, the General Manager of Footy Operations and Performance, of preparing for the first of two pre-season fixtures against the West Coast Eagles. The first of those is Saturday morning at Mineral Resources Park. Joe, good morning.
G'day, gents. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure to chat to you. It's all exciting now because we're only a couple of weeks away from the season proper. You've got Melbourne at the MCG in round one, but a familiar face in the West Coast Eagles for your two pre-season games. Must be some comfort for the players and for the off-field staff as well to know that you've got some matches locked in ahead of the season.
Yeah, it's nice to be staying at home for a couple of weeks, obviously, with how this year might look. It would have been good to obviously play a couple of different teams, but completely understand the decision behind limiting the risk and not having clubs travel interstate. So obviously play West Coast this Saturday at Lathlane and then the following Sunday at Optus Stadium, which would be great.
Hey, Joe, Kim Hagdon here. There's a million questions. I'm sure we're not going to get to them all with the restricted time we've got this morning, but it's terrific to chat with you on some of those. Can you give us much details about this particular coming Saturday? I think it's going to be streamed, but no attendance from fans. Any sort of details you can express, because being behind closed doors, I think there was discussions on how you would handle it, to how the respective clubs had different views on what sort of practice you should do in your first hit out before the big one, which is more public the following week.
Yeah, look, Kim, it was really important that we obviously had this additional hit out. So we've been in discussions with West Coast for a number of weeks now, and Justin speaking closely with Adam just to make sure that we got the required minutes into both squads. Ultimately, kind of landing on around 28 players being available in both squads and looking to just have a full four-quarter hit out, which will be really, really good for our players across the board. And as you mentioned, both clubs will be streaming it as well across the morning, so it's fantastic for the fans to be out of there. It'd be great to have fans in, but obviously with the AFL protocols and COVID restrictions, these fixtures aren't able to have fans in them.
I thought it was a fairly sort of fascinating concept to come up with your intra-club for last Friday, Joe. You picked a youth team against a more mature, I won't call them older team, but it was a significantly interesting concept. While you're searching for more pace, Justin's made it very clear you want to get more outside run. Some of the kids show that they've got that. Do they press claims in that sort of a game to start towards getting, like Liam Henry, for instance, was just exceptional off a wing toward a round one start?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at our first of 4 year program, it's almost half of our squad. So it's fantastic, I guess, from a competitive nature for them to be able to show their wares against the more experienced players. I think that obviously excited a few of our younger players to put their hands up. And you mentioned Liam Henry, but obviously Michael Frederick in his second year showed some real outside speed. Joel Weston showed some really exciting features of his game as well. So it's just fantastic to be able to put them against each other in that kind of competitive nature last Friday. And ultimately, it was a really, really good hit out for both groups. It was a close game.
Joe, everyone's got injuries at this time of year, trying to manage players as best as you can so that they're fit and firing for round one. But there are a few players in rehab right now. Where's Sean Darcy at with his knee?
Yeah, Sean is progressing really, really well. Running program and intro to footy over the next week. And look, we're working towards him being available for round one, so we're really happy with how he's gone so far. It was obviously disappointing for Sean to have that knee injury a few weeks back, but he's been meticulous in his reconditioning program, and everything's progressing well this stage in intro to footy over the next week, and then planning for him to be available for round one.
You've got a few ruck options. We've seen Rory Lobb play in the ruck in the absence of Sean in recent years, and Lloyd Meek's entering his fourth year on the list. He hasn't played a senior game as of yet. Would there be any hesitation to pick Lloyd for round one as a genuine number one ruck option?
I don't think there'd be any hesitation at all. Obviously, we've got a number of different options. It depends on whether Sean's available. That's what we're planning for. But obviously, we've seen Rory Lobb play really, really well in the ruck, so I don't think there'd be any hesitation at all. It just ultimately comes up to the best balance of our team and who's available at the time. So Lloyd's had a really strong pre-season and he's a real strong athlete around the ground as well. So no hesitation from our end.
Joe, will we see Joel Hamling and Alex Pearce get good time? Where are they at?
Yeah, both going really, really well. Obviously, just with being out of the game for longer periods of time, you've got to manage their loads and you can't rush them back too quickly. But both participated in the the intra-club last week and planning to see them both this weekend as well against West Coast. But obviously, with the extent and the length of time that they're out of the game, we need to manage their loads closely and monitor that as they transition back in. So at the moment, they're both progressing well and really excited to, and obviously for them as well, to have a competitive hit out against another team, which has been a long time coming.
Goal scoring is something that Fremantle just have to improve, Joe, if they're going to climb towards a spot in the eight, without going back through the last five seasons where Fremantle have ranked. I tell you what has been noticeable over the summer, and Josh Treacy was a really late rookie pick, so he's a late recruit for you over that, you know, recruiting, trading, drafting process late last year. Very impressive goal kicking. I'm prepared to suggest he's got probably the most clean goal kicking setup and approach and execution of the entire group. Could he be someone that's really pressed? I mean, is he in the frame for a round one selection, Josh Treacy?
Yeah, he definitely is. As you said, he's really impressed across the preseason. It was obviously a late pick in the rookie draft, but really from a needs perspective, gives us some flexibility in our forward half. And he's a real competitor. Josh is his attack on the footy, and he really crushes the pack and gives our forward a chance when it hits the ground. So he's really impressed so far, and he's going to have his opportunity over the next couple of weeks in a couple of pre-season fixtures, which is exciting for him as well. But no, you're 100% correct. He's been really impressive. I guess to touch on the forward half scoring, Justin's obviously been forthcoming and saying we're really looking to improve this year, and it's going to come down probably a bit of that mid-forward connection that we've been really prioritising over the pre-season to give our forwards a really good look. When you talk about Lobb and Tavernier, and if Josh gets his opportunity, but also it's getting the ball in there quick to give our smalls a chance, and hopefully with some speed up front that'll allow us to kick those additional goals that we're chasing.
So just to extend a little bit with Treacy's sort of emergence and you know, perhaps a little bit of a surprise above expectation presence over the last couple of months, could he, his potential now ease the need to rush Sean Darcy or even Matt Taberner back, because he could provide a spot for you up front and then Lobb do a bit of rucking with Lloyd Meek? So does that ease the urgency to get those other two priorities, Darcy and Taberner, back?
Yeah, obviously it just gives us flexibility. You're right in that it gives us flexibility and he can play those roles. And really creates a more competitive balance across our team and guys fighting for spots is first, probably the first point. In terms of Tabs and Sean, definitely won't be rushing any of them back because they're so important to us. At the moment, hoping to, there's potential that Tabs might be available at the back end of next week for the West Coast game for some minutes. So we won't rush either of them back. But no, you're exactly right. He does give us that flexibility up forward that probably haven't had of recent times.
And just a little bit, one more on Josh Treacy. It sounds like it's the Josh Treacy half hour.
You're a fan,
no apologies,
Kim.
For that. Oh, look, he just has struck out. He's just been very noticeable. I'm sorry to say that.
No.
Puts a bit of expectation on him, but you can handle that, not me. He did also crash a pack last Friday, just went whack into a pack, and in the midst of it was Luke Ryan. Copped a knock in the head from this big kid who's just imposing himself. How is Luke Ryan? And does he have to sort of sit out the 12 days by any chance? Because it was a big, heavy knock into his face and head region.
Yeah, no, look, he's a pretty strong young man, Luke, and he always puts his body on the line. He's done it his entire career. So, look, he's not in any concern from a concussion or anything perspective. Obviously, it was just a big hit with the knee in the back of the head, so it wasn't great for Lukey.
We're chatting to Joe Bridie from the Fremantle Football Club. He's the General Manager of Footy Operations and Performance ahead of the first of two practice matches, pre-season games against West Coast, the first Saturday morning at Mineral Resources Park. Joe, where is Brendan Cox best served? He's a utility. He's played at both ends of the ground in his young, fledgling career so far, and now with Hamling and Pierce returning, you've got a bit of an abundance of riches when it comes to key position talent in the back six. Where's Brendan Cox best served?
If we look over the last 12 months, he was pretty impressive down back, playing on some of the key tall forwards across the competition. But as we've kind of mentioned, in terms of a bit of flexibility, if we've got that availability of other key backs, he's got the ability to go forward as well. He's obviously a really, really talented player, Brennan. But I guess first and foremost, it creates a really strong competition down back with all the key backs that potentially could be available, and that's what we want to have, and that's how we're going to improve as a football club, this competition for spots. So where he's best served. Who knows over the years and how he'll turn out, but at the moment he's playing really good footy down back for us and been really impressed with that.
Joe, I mean, a lot of Fremantle supporters, there's a bit of expectation, and you've got a number of players there that are probably around the 40 to 60 games played that you've put time into, the Brayshaws, the Searers, Sarongs, maybe Ryan, all those. The expectation, does Fremantle handle that? Are you seeing that as what those supporters deserve?
Oh, 100%. From our perspective, we weren't content with last year. We're obviously seeing glimpses of how we can play and taking up some really quality teams with a younger group. But from our perspective, we've got high expectations on improving and setting really high standards as a football club with the young group coming through. We talk about Andy Brayshaw, who's just joined our leadership group, which is obviously fantastic for Andy, but it shows the path we're taking with some of those younger players and the impact they're having across our group. So from our perspective, we want to set really high expectations this year to improve across the board. And you mentioned kind of players playing 40 games. Obviously, talk about the industry. Once they've kind of played that 70 to 80 games together, is that sweet spot where hopefully they can really gel. And we're looking to see that over the coming years and keep this collective group together. They're really tight-knit and creating a really strong culture down there as a team. When they play more together, they'll know their own nuances, and I think that'll obviously, if we can get our best 22 out in the field, have an impact on field.
Joe, is there any chance out of what Aaron Sandilands did last Friday that you might sort of think, sheepers, could we talk him into a rookie listing? I know you haven't got room on your list right now. I understand all the logistics of it. Any chance? Has it been a follow-up since last Friday in any way?
When he walked off the track and I asked him how he went, he left the club within about 10 minutes, Aaron. He was keen to get out of there. He was pretty tired. So he was impressive, as he always is. But I think Aaron's moved on with his career at his mowing business. So I think he's well and truly happy and enjoying retirement. He's a great resource for us to have at the club, and a fantastic person. But would love to see him pull on the jumper again. But I think he's happy with what he's doing.
So you're ruling that out. Okay. One final one. Can you knock on the head that Nathan Fyfe will play such the amount of time forward that he can kick 40 goals? Because I just don't see how you can do that. He has to play majority midfield. If he did that and kicked 40 goals, he wins another Brownlow. Surely he doesn't spend lots of time forward.
Yeah, look, it's probably not a question for me to answer. I think that's probably up to the match committee and Justin to really decide on where that lands in terms of the percentage, and I think it becomes a needs basis on how we're going inside. There's obviously a number of players that we can push through the midfield now, and we're seeing their emergence. But as you mentioned, Kim, he's a beast around the contest from a stoppage perspective and has a significant impact. But he kicked 5 goals in an intra-club we had the other week, playing up forward on limited minutes, and was really impressive there as well. So we talked about a lot of flexibility across our list, and with the reduction in rotations going down to 75 and increased minutes in quarters, we're going to have to rotate our mids forward. And obviously he gives us that flexibility. So does Sonny. Dave's played forward before. So I think we're going to see those kind of guys have to spend more time forward because the game requires it.
Joe, lastly, 2015 was the last time Fremantle made finals, and Dockers fans are hopeful that this might be the year. Do you set that as your expectation heading into the season, that finals is achievable?
I don't think anyone rules it out from the start of the season, that's for sure. Look, from our perspective, our consistent theme for this year is that we want to get better. And we set some standards last year that were really positive, but we weren't consistent in games. And if we can have our best 22 out on the park and have them gel really, really closely this year, we've got high expectations on improving from last year, obviously finishing 12th. So at this point in time, that's what we're prioritising. And how the season plays out. Look, if finals are there at the end of the year, that's what we want to be. We want to be a finals footy club, but we've just got to work through the season as it progresses.
Well, there'll be a lot of people out there hoping that this is the year for the Fremantle Football Club, and that development that we saw last year in the young group continues in 2021.
Just a really quick one, Joe, and it's more political. That game that is confirmed for 4:10, 10 minutes past 4 on Sunday week. Again, are you across any intentions or details relating to what sort of charity donations will be made out of that, or is that a bit early yet?
Yeah, I think it's a bit early. I know it's obviously going to be something that's been up for the discussion, and it'll be something managed by Simon Garlick and Trevor Nisbet. So I think obviously with the game just being locked away yesterday, it's only kind of really Tuesday it was talked about, and then yesterday it was finalised. So I think over the coming days we'll see that discussed further and then see how it plays out.
Joe, the best of luck over the next couple of weeks in the run to round one and the Demons at the MCG. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for your time. Take care.